Maybe. Right.
Thank you, front row people. Firstly, did you enjoy Craig last week being here? He's a blessing, and it was fun to swap and meet up with the Lakeside Church. There were 22 international visitors there, and that just kind of goes all the way through the season. It's some of the local folk are not there. In fact, quite a lot of the local folk are not there, and it's a changing congregation all the way through the season. It's very interesting with a resort town. So we had a good time there. Today we come to the conclusion of this little series in Nehemiah. We're at chapter 12. We could do chapter 13. That ends on a little bit of a downer, but it's not because I don't want to go there. It's just that we want to do the Advent time as we promised. So we're looking at chapter 12 today. Thank you Lynn and your team. Great. I want to read to you from verse 27 in the Voice translation, and I ask your forgiveness for not being able to really pronounce all the names adequately. I think we need someone else, like maybe Lynn, to come and do all that. She did a good job last time. Verse 27, finally the time came to dedicate the wall of Jerusalem. Levites were tracked down from all over to perform the dedication ceremonies in Jerusalem. They celebrated joyously and led the people in songs of thanksgiving, worshipping with abandon. I like the way it's expressed there. And they celebrated joyously and led the people in songs of thanksgiving, worshipping with abandon. They played cymbals and harps and other stringed instruments they could carry. Singers from all around Jerusalem also came from the villages around. The singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem where they lived. The priests and the Levites ended the ceremonies by purifying themselves, and then the people, the wall, and the gates. Verse 31, then I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall. This wall was about 3 meters wide at the top. It wasn't just a little teensy one. This was, you could stand up, in fact, you could run races around the wall. So I brought the leaders of Judah up onto the wall. I had organized 2 large choirs to lead us in thanksgiving. One of the choirs walked south along the wall to the right toward the Potsherd Gate. And behind that choir marched a whole lot of people, so I'll just leave those names. And verse 35, some of the young priests played trumpets. Others played the same instruments David, the man of God, played. And then there was a whole another named group of people. This was led by various people down the way there. Verse 38, the other choir went to the left, along with the remaining people up on the wall. And I followed them north from the oven tower to the broad wall. And we went over the Ephraim gate, the old gate, the fish gate, the tower of Hananel, and all the way to the tower of the hundred. And we went through the sheep gate and stopped when we arrived at the guards gate. And as they arrived at the temple of God, both choirs took their places, all the while giving thanks. And those of us leaders in the second group joined them. And we followed the priests. And then in verse 42, the musicians were playing loudly, and the singers were singing. Jerahiah led them, and together the sound filled the city. Everyone was rejoicing and making sacrifices to God in their great joy. Even the women and children got involved, and far outside Jerusalem, the noise from our celebration could be heard. This was a party. This was something to really, really celebrate. It's hard for us to put ourselves into the situation, because our culture is kind of reserved. We're not that flamboyant, over-the-top, exuberant kind of culture. But these folk, when they celebrated, it was noisy. It was loud. They sang at the top of their lungs. They played their instruments so everyone could hear, even outside the city. Pretty amazing time. So I trust that God will bless us as we just consider this idea here for a moment or two this morning. Well, there was a farmer around who had a neighbor who was a chronic complainer. Does that resemble anyone here? No? He would always find something wrong with anything. He was a cold, wet blanket on a cold, wet night. The man had absolutely no joy within him. So the farmer decided he would find a way to make this man smile and see the good in life. So the farmer went out, brought the world's greatest hunting dog, and trained it to do everything a person could imagine. And then he invited his joyless neighbor to go hunting with him. When they were hunting, the farmer showed his neighbor how his dog could stand motionless for 1 hour. How his dog could pick up a scent from 1 mile away. There was no response by the neighbor. Finally, the farmer shot a duck, which landed in the middle of the lake. The farmer spoke to the dog, commanding the dog in a foreign language, and then the dog ran to the edge of the water, stopped. Then the dog walked on the surface of the water, picked up the duck, brought the duck back to the farmer, and dropped it at the farmer's feet. The farmer asked and challenged his neighbor, "So what do you think of that?" To which the neighbor replied, "Your dog can't swim, can he?" You know, I suspect that we all know people a bit like that. It doesn't matter what it is. You can't get them to smile, chuckle, or see the fun side of life. They're just killjoys about everything. There would be nobody here like that, I know for sure, but I guarantee that we know someone like that. I guarantee it. The people who, without even knowing it or understanding it, they somehow suck the life and the joy out of us by being around them. I wrote this, they're kind of like black holes in outer space. Once we enter their atmosphere, they suck us in and the joy out of us. Don't need to hang out with those people for too long. And as I said before, our culture sometimes struggles to celebrate. We're not a celebrative culture, generally. You know, we'll do the birthdays and we'll do the anniversaries, but, you know, it's kind of like we sort of go through the motions, but it's very hard for us to get a little excited about this kind of thing. It escapes our thinking. It's not something in our psyche and in our culture that we actually think about much. And some of us, if we're introverted personalities, and I'm one of those, I'm an 11 on a scale of 10 introvert, when it comes to celebrations, we kind of find something else to do, you know, some alone project somewhere. We struggle with it. And we have to discipline ourselves so often to celebrate. That sounds weird, doesn't it? We have to plan it. In the celebration this morning of the wall and the dedication of the wall, it was a planned thing. I mean, they scoured everywhere to get singers, musicians to come together for this party. Now, a choir, hands up to people here in a choir. You're in a choir. A choir, it takes some practice, doesn't it? It takes some coming together so that everybody does their part very, very well. So it's got to be a disciplined thing. Now, on the fourth Thursday in November every year since 1621 in the United States, they celebrate Thanksgiving Day. It's a wonderful day. It's one of the, I think, one of the exceptionally good celebrations that America has. And it's a day when people always travel to get together to be with family, and they sit around the table and eat that much food, it's scary. All the turkeys in the country get really nervous a couple of days before Thanksgiving. And extremely nervous, actually. I haven't got the numbers, but there's an awful lot of turkeys that give their lives for this day to say thank you. It's a celebration, and it's a joyous occasion. It really is. 1621, the pilgrims celebrated the first harvest in this New World, America. Zimbabwe as a nation is celebrating at the moment. 37 years of dictatorship, no more. They were doing the dance. You know the dance? Anybody that's seen Evan Almighty? They know the dance. Yes. I want to get everybody up by the end. We're going to do the dance. So we have family celebrations, and they're cool. Like, they're fun to be part of. As Christian community, we do celebrations. We celebrate Christmas. Now, I know that this history of paganism and all kinds of things in Christmas, and you know, we get messed up between Santa Claus and someone else who gave a gift. And we got Christmas trees, and we do the tinsel and this kind of thing. And sometimes we kill the sense of celebration because we're hung up on some of the baubles and things. And I know this is the commercialism of Christmas. And I mean, it starts in October now to sell your stuff. And Thanksgiving in America is the flag down for Christmas shopping, and they call it Black Friday. And you're seeing a lot of Black Friday in advertising, right? It's now the marketing way. And they extend it out, not from Friday. They do Saturday, and they do Sunday, and then they want to do Monday as well, and they call that Cyber Monday to sell stuff. So we could get hung up on the commercialism, but what a wonderful time. Don't miss the celebration of the fact that Jesus has come into the world. And the whole planet is still thinking about Christmas. It is. It really is. We celebrate Easter. Why do we celebrate Easter?
Jesus rose.
Yeah, not only was Jesus crucified, but he rose from the dead. Is that something to celebrate or what? And yet in our culture, Easter is not celebrated, even by Christians much. I'm thinking, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that picture? This is something we could celebrate so wonderfully. We should celebrate our salvation. That's the big Easter, where we've been translated from darkness to light, from death to life. I actually believe that every Sunday should be a celebration of God's people about the life that we enjoy today. What do you think? Funerals are funerals. For Christians, a funeral is a celebration. It's a homecoming. It's being transferred into the very presence of God like that. But so often it's grief there, there's sadness, it's natural. But for those that love God, oh, what a celebration. Have you been to funerals of Christ followers and it's just an absolute blast? There's balloons going off and all kinds of things. It really is a celebration. There's a lot for us to celebrate. But what about celebrating an accomplishment? That's not something we do often. We sort of do. We might sneak out for lunch or dinner or something like that when we've accomplished something. But as you say, accomplishing a nursing degree and whatever the thing is that we've accomplished, let's enjoy it. Let's celebrate it. There's work gone into that. So the wall was repaired. Worship was restored to Jerusalem. They'd rebuilt the destroyed parts of the wall. As I said, it's about up to about 3 meters thick at the top of the wall. The gates, the towers, all of it. And they did it in 52 days. By the way, they were 52 literal days. And as we looked at this, this involved a lot of organization, a lot of putting it together. And people and materials and builders and all. I mean, there was a whole thing. Everybody was involved in this building. Everybody, from the littlest to the greatest and biggest. They had a huge accomplishment to celebrate, and they sure went about the party. The people of God were relieved and revived and excited all at the same time. They had something to really celebrate. I think, I don't know what you think, but I think we can celebrate accomplishments. What do you think? Yeah, I think we can. It's good to celebrate. Gives us a desire to keep on keeping on. You know, when you've accomplished something, it gives you a great motivation to go on. If you don't accomplish something, you might get halfway there. But when you've accomplished something, we can go on. There are different ways to celebrate. I believe, with all my heart actually, even though, you know, my natural personality type struggles in this, but I believe with all my heart that celebration should be a joyful thing, full of joy, absolutely full of joy. We should celebrate with joy. What about Nehemiah 8:10? Do you remember that scripture? What does it say? Can anybody quote that for me? Just a piece of it will do. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So, if you're not strong, be joyful. Celebrate with joy. G.K. Chesterton was a theologian, a Christian apologist, died about 1936. But this is a brilliant quote from him, and I want to read it to you this morning. Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again. How many of us here as parents and grandparents know that when you read a kid's story, that you just got to keep on reading that thing time after time? You know what I mean? Time after time. He said, do it again. And the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. But perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, do it again to the sun. And every evening, do it again to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but he has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy, for we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. Oh yeah. God dances over us with joy. Did you know that? The angels in heaven celebrate with joyous celebration over one sinner that repents. A lot of joy about the Christian life. Would you agree? Yeah. pretty powerful statement that. We have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. Joy is another word for celebration, but we're busy. Day starts way too early, ends way too late. We're totally worn out and exhausted. Get home, it's celebrate? Celebrate what? just fall into bed. Doesn't matter what time of the year. We live to the max. And actually, I shared at the, I think it was at the session meeting this past week, that if we take something on, you know, some project, some activity, the big question is, what are we going to drop off the other end? Because sometimes when we hear about some things to do and that in our lives, and we're sitting there, particularly in church, very conscious of this as a preacher, that we're expecting you to do one more thing, and inside you're saying, I don't think so. Not one more thing. There's not one more thing I can do. And you know what? The joy of all our accomplishments gets sucked out of us because we've got too much going on. Just let that ruminate there for a while. If we don't celebrate, if we don't have joy in our inmost being, we're going to be like that old neighbor and not see any joy in anything good. We are to be joy bearers and celebrate the life God has given us. John Piper, he's quite a well-known preacher and teacher in the evangelical community. But he wrote a book entitled Desiring God, Meditations of a Christian Hedonist. Many don't like the title because a hedonist is someone who only wants pleasure for themselves. However, Piper's premise is the pleasure we seek is in God himself. God is the end of our search, not the means to some further end. Our exceeding joy is in the Lord our God. Christian hedonism seeks to transform the heart so that Almighty God will be our first and only choice above all other choices. And he's joyful. I would like to suggest to you, and this may be a little pointed, I hope you're okay, I ask forgiveness before I say it. If we're not experiencing joy, maybe what we're experiencing is just religion. It's quiet about now. Am I forgiven for saying that? The closer we draw to God and abide in Him, a love relationship really, the more joy fills our heart. And you say, what about when things are not joyful? When things are not going good? When we're suffering? When we're sick? There's a lot to not be joyful about. Well, the Apostle Paul says, we rejoice in our sufferings. How can you have joy in your suffering? Because joy is very different from happiness. Happiness comes as a result of our circumstances. Joy is deep down in spite of our circumstances. That's the difference. There's a secret to this, and I want to share that with you this morning. It's called abiding in the Lord. It's being with Him and recognizing this. My meditations of this past week, my morning quiet times, have been on the idea of being present in the now. So often we're thinking about what we've got to do and regretting what we didn't do in the past. But we sometimes miss the now. We miss the present. We miss being there, you know, with our child or our grandchild. We're not there with them. We're somewhere else. I've been so guilty of this. I've been around, but I haven't been there. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've been physically there, but somewhere else. And so often we miss our relationship with God. He's never left us. There's nowhere on the planet, if I read my Bible and understand it theologically, there is nowhere that God isn't. He fills everything and all things. And the bumper sticker says, if you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? Sometimes it's really a matter of being in the present so we recognize who it is who lives within us, who sustains us, and we well up with praise, with joy. It's being in the moment. Sometimes we live depleted lives because we're not being charged spiritually. And I would suggest to you that if you come along here expecting this just for Sunday, and you might go away, well, yeah, we had a great time on Sunday. It was refreshing. It was good. We had good fellowship. The singing was awesome. The musicians were wonderful. The preacher was, oh, you know, okay. And we go away and we have a good time, but it doesn't last that long. It's like a balloon with the air going out of it. Why? Because we're not abiding with Him. We're not living in the now. Not living with Him in the now. To really conclude this time, I want to just remind us of a couple of things that we can do that help us with this joy thing. Okay, dance, do the dance. No, come on, everybody stand up. Go, just do the dance. Past your comfort zone, past the culture. Stand up and do the dance. If I can do it, you can do it. It's called the Pentecostal two-step. I got you to laugh anyway, because that's one of the things that we need to do, is laugh and dance. Why do I say dance? I mean, if you can't dance outside, dance inside. And the outside soon follows. You can move in the tractor cab. You got the... You know, I was going to say, if Mike is here, he would be able to hear it now. So you can move a little, you know. Or your truck, you can move. Or be like a kid and just make lots of noise. Have you had kids that are full of joy? They just make so much noise, us oldies want to go, oh, you know. Unrestrained joy. Abandoned joy. Christmas time, don't you love it with kids around? And the place looks like a bomb site with stuff, the wrappings all gone off, and they're just full of joy. Just the look on their faces. What an amazing time of celebration. That's what we are as the people of God. We're just like, we've taken the wrapper off this thing. And God has revealed to us. And it's an explosion of joy. So laugh. You can laugh. Find reasons to laugh. Watch your favorite funny movie and laugh. Belly laugh. At our home groups, I've shared a little of my testimony about laughing. I want to do that for just a couple of seconds this morning. And the reason I want to share that is that because my emotions were locked up for an awful long time. Trauma happened in my life, in terms of family. And really, I couldn't laugh from the time my family left me at 12 years of age. I couldn't cry. I was a dead fish, really. We were at a meeting in Seattle, and there were two preachers there. They invited us, most of us were leaders and pastors, to come to the front and let's pray for refreshment for you. They said, get out here. They didn't have no music, you know, just as I am, none of this sort of stuff. Just get out here and let some people pray for you. Well, I had, might have been a 15-year-old young man pray for me. And you know, in a very, very short period of time, I just felt like some bubbling thing coming up in terms of my insides here, and I started to laugh. I laughed from then on for 4 years. And off and on, I still laugh now and again. Uncontrollable laughter. In fact, it was laughing and crying all at once in some cases. And the laughing sounded kind of weird to me because I just couldn't contain myself. And occasionally it would happen in the most inappropriate times. I'd be in a supermarket and the next thing I'm doubling over laughing and the checkout person looks at me and looks at Ethel, and Ethel said he just didn't take his medication. But and so on and on it goes. And I mean, the most inappropriate times I would be laughing. I could not figure this out. And then at one time she just went, it sounded like 12-year-old boy laughing. For 4 years I had all a catharsis of emotions that I'd never laughed or cried, and now I was doing a whole lot, and now I still laugh and cry and do all that kind of stuff at movies. I'm a mess, you know, all this kind of, none of you guys are like that, I know, but I am. Laughing was healing and therapeutic, and I think some of the reason that we've got so much mental illness is because we don't laugh. We don't experience the joy of laughing. Our emotions get locked up. I praise God for that. It was very painful on my stomach muscles, extremely embarrassing. I remember being in a restaurant and I looked at a guy and I burst out laughing. I thought he was going to come and punch me out. It was dangerous, a dangerous experience, but so therapeutic, so therapeutic. You see, when we laugh, endorphins are released in our body and it brings healing. And I tell you, laughing at ourselves is probably the best way we can deal with some stuff. We need to do that more often. Make family events into times of celebration. Just look for those. Just do it. Celebrate. When you finish a project, get a new job, get accepted, whatever it might be, celebrate. If there's one thing that I regret, I do, about our culture and our conservatism and our, you know, something that we've inherited from across the way there, from, you know, Scotland and, you know, the UK in general, is this conservative thing about us. There's some good things about that, but I regret that it stifles so often our ability to celebrate full of joy. I'm so glad to see some of you laughing here this morning, if not all of you. It's good to laugh. At Christmas, at Easter, special days. If you haven't got any special days, create one. Celebrate anyway. And I think that more, the more we celebrate as the people of God, when our culture looks on and says, why are you people so full joy we can tell. So often when people look at Christians, what do they see? I really want to be like them. There is something that God has hardwired into his created people. And you know what that is? Celebration. You go to any football match and you see celebration. You see the days when crowds of people get together, they celebrate. There's something in there. Paul told the Philippians, he said, rejoice, and I'll say it again, rejoice. It's got joy in that word, rejoice. So the more we rejoice, the more joy we receive. It's pretty cool. We're going to close our service with a happy song. Now I know it's happy. It's called the Happy Song. And we're going to receive our offering during the Happy Song. Now, it may not be your taste of music, it's probably not mine, but it's a happy song. And I thought it'd be good to conclude our time with a happy song. Thank you. Joy that comes because of who Jesus is in us
And Lord, as we celebrate today your goodness, we thank you that we can do this in a variety of ways, with our voices, with our bodies, with our giving.
Yes.
And Lord, we dedicate our lives to you as we dedicate this offering to you now. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. And the people of God said together,
Amen.
Amen. So I'm not too sure if I've still got a job next week, but we'll see how we go.
I thought you should say, you come back now.
Oh, you come back now. You come back now. Yeah. And the front row will be available next week as well. I'll leave these out outside if you'd like to have a look over them and see what we'll be delivering. And it's an opportunity, really, for encouraging everybody in the community to share with us in a community celebration and Christmas Eve. And Jeff and Margie Ray are working up a great concert-type presentation for us on that occasion. So it'd be good.